So see, for this morning, we're coming to the end in our series called I Want a New Marriage. So we come to the end this morning. And so as we come into the end, won't you join me in that passage that we read earlier on from Genesis chapter 2. If you'd like to turn there with me now, it'd be very useful to have that passage open in front of you. Genesis chapter 2. And if you don't have an electronic device or your Bible with you, these verses will also be on the screen behind me. So as you're turning to Genesis chapter 2, let me tell you what a friend of mine said to me just a few weeks before my wedding day. He said to me, Farai, here's what I want you to know. There are three rings associated with marriage. There is the engagement ring, there is the wedding ring, then there's the suffer ring. And so I thought it was a joke, I thought he was joking, but he didn't laugh after he said that. And so I started to think to myself, because he had been married for 2 years. And so I started to think to myself, is marriage really that bad? That the third ring has to be called the suffer ring. And so I started to ask myself, what am I getting myself into? What have I done to myself willingly and knowingly? If this is what marriage is all about, is marriage really that bad? And in a room like this, some of us would be saying, yes. It is bad. It is suffering. For some of us in a room like this, we say that it has been hard. It's been tough. Marriage has been difficult. And I've been struggling because my spouse causes me pain and heartache. It is characterized by hurt and disappointment and unfulfilled expectations. So yes, marriage is suffering. But church, is that what God had in mind when he instituted this whole thing called marriage, when he gave this whole thing called marriage from the beginning? Was that God's intention that two people will get married and all they will experience is suffering, pain, and disappointment? Is that what marriage is all about? And so friends, that's what I want us to investigate this morning as we open to Genesis chapter 2. We want to find out what God has to say. If marriage is going to work, if marriage is going to be successful, and we know that God wants us to be successful in marriage because God never created anything to fail. You know this, right? So he never created marriages to fail. And so if God wants us to be successful in our marriages, what is it that God says? What will be some of the key things that we need to know, that we need to live and act out in our marriages? What is it that God has said? And so we only have time for verses 24 and 25, Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be focused in on verses 24 and 25. And these two verses, we're going to discover what I call the three P's for marriage. The three P's for marriage. Are you ready, church? You've got your passage open in front of you, Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. So let's get straight into it. The first P that I want us to see is what I call priority. If your marriage is going to work, and God wants your marriage to work, then this first P is what you need to keep in mind. It is priority. Listen to this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. So for what reason? For the reasons that God has been saying in verses 15 onwards when he created the first man and the first woman and put them together. So for that reason, he says that a man will leave his father and mother. So quick background to where we are in the book of Genesis. This is Moses who's writing these words to Israel, the people of God. So Moses wrote the first five books in your Bible. They're called the Pentateuch. And these first five books are given to Israel as the people of God to tell them, to show them, to instruct them what God says and what God instructs them and how he wants them to live in fellowship with God. How to have a relationship with God and how to live out your life as a person who follows God. So this is Moses speaking to the people of God. So remember, they had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And so all their thinking, their worldview, their standards, their values were influenced by Egypt. because that's where they lived. And so there needs to be a reforming here. There needs to be a reshaping. There needs to be a reconstruction of ideas and lifestyle if they're going to live as the people of God. God is now reshaping them to being His people. And one of the areas that God is reshaping them is in this area of marriage. And church, for you and I, in Josie 2026, we also need a reformation, don't we? We also need our minds influenced by God's word if we are God's people. Because Josie is speaking to us about what marriage looks like. Josie speaks to you and tries to instruct you and to show you that this is how your marriage should be like. Some of you are already learning from a man called Jonas what marriage is all about. And so we need a reform, isn't it? We need our minds to be more and more following God's word and what God has told us to live out this thing called marriage. So the word of God has got to shape my worldview. It has got to hold the place in my life and how I carry myself in this thing called marriage. And so here in verse 24, God says in His word, this is God speaking through His prophet Moses, and He says, when you get married, if you are married, this is God's plan, this is God's design, this is God's desire. If you are married, the first thing that you need to know is that you need to prioritize your spouse. This is the very first thing you need to know about marriage, that my spouse is now my priority. So listen, marriage only works when it's in first place. Marriage only works when it's in first place and not behind any other thing. So watch this, church. In the book of Genesis, the first relationship that God created is a husband and wife relationship. When you read the book of Genesis, that's what you find. The first relationship that God gave and created is a husband and wife. It is not a parent-child. It is not a sibling relationship. It's not an extended family. It's not friends. The first important relationship after my relationship with God, God says it is a man and wife relationship. And that's what you call marriage. So watch this, church. Because it's so important, because God deems marriage so important, He says in verse 24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. So on the day you got married, or if you're aspiring to be married, the day you get married, there is a reorganizing of priorities that needs to take place. There's a reordering of your life that needs to take place. But here's what verse 24 is not saying. But sometimes we need to look at the foil, the opposite, so that we can grasp and understand what the verse is actually saying. Here's what verse 24 is not saying. It's not saying you abandon your parents. It's not saying you forsake your parents. It's not saying you stop visiting, you stop caring, you stop loving your parents. That's not what verse 24 is saying. But verse 24 is calling you and I that when you get married, if you are married, there needs to be a reordering of your priorities. So here's what you need to know, church. Verse 24 was earth-shattering to the people of Israel when they heard it. It was like a bomb just went off. Because that's not how things worked in that society. Remember, they were living as slaves in Egypt. They'd come to understand marriage a certain way. And so when Moses speaks on behalf of God and he says, this is what God says, it was revolutionary, it was radical for them to hear. Because here's how family worked in that day. Your family was everything. Your family determined who you became. They defined what work you did. So if your dad was a fisherman, you became a fisherman. There was no, I'm going to varsity because I think I'm going to be an accountant. There was no such thing. You did what your dad did. Jesus was a carpenter because Joseph was a carpenter. That's how it worked in those days. Your family determined your career. Your family determined who you married. They determined where you lived. They determined who you become and what you did. They also called you to be obedient and to show them allegiance and commitment and devotion. So your first priority would have been your mom and dad. Above anything else, it was your parents. And so they wanted your loyalty. They called for your commitment to them first, above everything else. And then God steps in, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the giver of marriage. He steps in and he says these words in verse 24. So you can imagine sitting there in the desert, about to go into the promised land, and God says, before you go into the promised land, here's what marriage should look like for you. Imagine the shock and the horror of listening to verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. But I'm now to reprioritize my life. And the most important person in my life now is no longer mom and dad, is no longer my family, it is my spouse. It is my wife. This was earth-shattering for the first hearers. And so when two people get married, God this morning is saying to you and I in 2026, Josie, that you need to reprioritize your life. If you're not able to do that and you're single, leave this marriage thing alone. Just tell yourself, hey, it's not for me. It's okay. It's not a sin not to be married. You're just saying, I don't want to reprioritize my life like this. If you are married, it's too late. This is what God is calling you to. And so you need now, as you're listening to God's word, under the authority of Scripture, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to now tell yourself, this is what marriage God's way looks like. Maybe your parents told you a certain way. Maybe they actually didn't tell you, you just saw it happening in your family, that, oh, this is what marriage looks like. Somebody hits someone, and somebody shouts at somebody, and somebody else is more important than... Here's what God's word says. And if you are a Christian, we go by God's word. And verse 24 says, a man will leave his father and mother. Listen, if you enjoy going to your parents' house and they call you, oh, my nunus, and they cuddle you, and they don't get married. Don't take somebody else's child and put them in that drama. Because that's drama. You need to leave, says the Bible. And you need to reprioritize your life. And so there are two words that I want us to use this morning just to help us understand what this priority thing is all about. Two words. The first word is focus. And the second word is value. So now that I'm married, my focus is for my wife. That's what God is saying. My 100% focus is upon my wife. So listen, leaving here is not about proximity. It's not about GPS coordinates or location. The leaving we're talking about here is about prioritizing your life. So question, if you're a husband this morning, question. Would your wife say, yes, I know that I'm his priority. Not because he says it, but because he shows it. Will your wife be able to say that? Or maybe she will say, in answer to that question, I hope so. Sometimes I feel it, I know it, but here's what your thinking ought to be if you're a husband. That she's your priority. And if you're single and you're going out with someone, you're dating someone, and you don't see them much, I read this meme. It says that if your person only comes to see you at night, you're dating a mosquito. If you don't feel in this thing that you're in with your person, that's your priority, you have a chance, you have an opportunity right now to step away from it. Because the Bible says you should be priority in the eyes of your husband. So what do you think would happen if I went and said to my wife, listen, out of all the things that I love, and out of all the women that I love you most. How is that conversation going to go down? If I was to say that, you need to make sure that your funeral policy is up to date because you're going to need it. It's not going to fly. That of all the women that I love you the most. She'll never be satisfied with that kind of statement. Why? Because she requires 100% of me. And God says, I need to give 100% of me. So we might laugh at that statement. But friends, in a room like this, some wives feel like I'm competing. I don't think I'm number one. I compete for his attention. I'm competing with the job, with his career. I'm competing with his money. I'm competing with his friends, with his hobbies, with every other thing. And I don't feel like I'm priority. Even when he is home, I'm still not priority. Because he's engaged on his phone, he's watching stuff on TV, he's engaged with every other thing except me. And so this morning, God Almighty is speaking to husbands and he's saying, you need to reorder your priorities. Because your wife needs to be 100%. You need to focus on your wife. And then the second word that we find that will help us to understand what priority is the word value. Can I just ask you to think about the most valuable thing that you own? You got it? The most valuable thing. Maybe for you it's a pair of Jordans like that. That's all the valuable thing I've got. You got the most valuable thing that you own? How do you handle it? How do you treat the most valuable thing that you own? God in verse 24 says the most valuable person that is in your life is your spouse. How are you handling your spouse? How are you dealing with your spouse? Do they think that they're of great value? And so I need to prioritize them so that they feel and know that they're of great value to me. So watch how focus and value work out in everyday life. Because you're my priority, I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. I've got friends who come up with stuff to do so that they don't go home and spend time with their wives. I work late. I'm the guy, boss. I will do the project so that I can have an excuse. I'm working. I will do this and do that and the other. Why? Because I don't want to go home. I don't want to spend time with this person. I don't feel this anymore. So I need to come up with stuff that will help us or make us not spend time in the same space. So for her, quality time is a thing, but I don't deliver. Maybe acts of service is the thing, but I don't deliver. Maybe showering gifts is the love language for her, but I don't deliver any of that stuff. Because she's actually not priority. The only time for some of us we are seen in public with our spouse is when we're going to church, going to funerals, or going grocery shopping. It's terrible. I had a friend once. When I was doing this sermon, I realized I've got terrible friends. I had a friend once who got married. He got married somewhere else and then he came back into the hood and they were like, hey, where's your wife? No, she's somewhere there. He wouldn't point her out. No, she's somewhere over there. Dude, where's your wife? It's terrible. But because I prioritize my wife, I'm focused and she's of great value to me. I'm concerned about her. I'm concerned about her spiritual life. I'm concerned about her physical, mental, emotional well-being because she's valuable to me. She's precious to me. Because she's my number one priority, I am concerned how she's doing. And not only am I concerned, I tell her that I'm concerned. So she never has to wonder, is he concerned about me? She never has to think twice about it. That I hope he cares about me. I hope that he is for me. I hope that I'm valuable to him. But because you say it, you show it in your actions, she is secure. Friends, let me tell you, a secure wife is fire. in all areas of life. Do you want me to go deeper about the fire? We'll leave that for another day. I'll leave it to your imagination. So question, friends. What is more important to you right now than your spouse? What is it that you can put up and say, Pastor, this is more important than my wife. My job is more important. My social media is more important. My phone is more important. My money is more important. My friends, my sport is more important than my wife. What is it that's more important than your spouse right now? Because Genesis chapter 2 verse 24 says that you need to reprioritize your life if you're married. Because friends, this is God's plan. And there is no plan B. There is no verse 24.1. This is God's plan and there is nothing else. And so my wife is my priority. After my relationship with God, the most important person in my life is my spouse. And I need to prioritize them. And then the second P we find that I want us to look at is pursuit. So if you are priority, and because you're priority to me, I will pursue you. So listen to how God says it in verse 24. He says, and is united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Again, we need two words to help us understand what God is talking about here. Two words so that we can grasp fully what we are meant to be. Word number one is the word united. And then the second word is one flesh. So here, in God's maths, 1 + 1 = 1. That's God's maths. What is he talking about? You are so glued. Your lives are so intertwined. You're doing life so much so that when people look at you, it seems like it is seamless. Some of you as couples, you've merged your names and you came up with one name. For me and my wife, it's Ferrero Rocher. I don't know what it means for you. So maybe for you it doesn't work, so don't feel that any pressure. Like, my name is this and she's that. Oh, how are we going to merge these two things? That's not the point. Your lives will be so meshed that when people see you, it is seamless. It's like one life being lived together, so woven together that it is one life in the presence of God. So it's about partnership. It's about being connected. It's about intimacy in this relationship. Friend, you cannot get this type of partnership with someone. You cannot get this type of connectivity, this type of intimacy with someone if you're not working towards it. But here's the lie that you and I have bought in Josie. Here's the lie. There's a lie that you and I have bought in Josie. Here it is. It is people telling us that if you have to work at something, if you're working at your marriage, then there's something wrong. If you're having to work at your marriage, then there's something wrong. Because if you had married your soulmate, if you were married to your soulmate, then life would be easy. And so some of us, we're standing at a precipice where we're about to give up our marriage. We're about to walk away from our marriage because I did not marry my soulmate. This marriage is hard, so it means that I married the wrong person. Listen, it's a lie. And why is it a lie? Because I'm a broken and sinful fallen person, and my soulmate is also a broken and sinful person living in a broken and fallen world. So nothing is ever going to be perfect. Nothing is ever going to be easy. And yet you and I, we've bought into that lie. That each morning I need to wake up and there will be cherubim playing harps, singing of our love. I love the movie Twilight. Yes, it was for 13-year-old girls, so don't judge me. And I loved, and I watched all of them. Somebody came to my house, and they saw me watching it. They said, are you watching Twilight? I said, yes, I am watching Twilight. Because there's a song there that I love. I love you for 1,000 years. Love you for 1,000 more. And we think that that's how every day is going to be. And when I wake up and I'll be singing this song, my heart will just be singing this song. Friends, if I'm not going to put in work and effort into this thing, it's never going to work. But there's a problem. There's a problem. You know what the problem is? It's actually two problems. Problem number one, I'm lazy. I am lazy. I don't want to put in any work. I don't want to put in any effort into this marriage. For some of us sitting in a room like this, our marriages are on autopilot. Stuff is just happening and I'm just coasting along. Stuff is just happening. I just go along with it. Why? Because the marriage is on autopilot. It's on autopilot because I am lazy. I'm not going to put in any work. I'm not going to do anything to build this marriage. And the second problem is actually that I'm pursuing other things more than I pursue my wife. I pursue my career. I pursue my money. I pursue my sports, my leisure, my hobbies, my friends, my everything. You fill in the blank. And all these things come ahead of my wife. There's some of us who are sitting here this morning and we are busy pursuing somebody else, not our spouse. And we have intentions of ending up in bed with that person, and so we are pursuing them even more. Because my lust has gotten hold of me. So my wife has no space in my life. And because I am so busy pursuing other things, I have no time to serve my wife, to ask, how can I make your day easier? How can I make your life easier? And if you're raising young kids, I don't even ask about the kids and how I can help with the kids. Friends, marriage is about serving. God created Adam and Eve, and he said they need to together form a partnership to serve God in doing what God has called them to do as they serve one another. Bazalwane, marriage is about serving. But I don't want to serve. I want to be served. I have no time to serve anybody else. So I'm lazy, and I'm pursuing other things ahead of my spouse. So we've neglected this whole art of pursuing one another in this marriage. We've neglected the art of putting in the yards, putting in the hours in this marriage. So question, how is it going, Kotlum? How is it going? In your house, where nobody else is there. Are you working towards being united, being one flesh with your spouse? Is that your goal? You put in the effort to pursue each other? And if you're single, let me say this to you. If he is not pursuing you, he's not into you. That might be hard for you this morning. So go on WhatsApp and say, I want you to pursue me. And if you're not, then the pastor says it's okay. I can leave. If he's not pursuing you now, don't make the mistake to say, oh, once we get married, he'll start pursuing you. No. I've been dealing with couples for the last 20 years of my life. The first question I'll ask you when you come and sit in front of me is this the first time this has happened? And then people scratch their head, no. Is this the first time he's hit you? No. He did it while we were dating. What made you think he's going to stop? Is this the first time you felt ignored and rejected? No. We felt like this when we were dating. So what made you think he's going to stop? There's a saying, if somebody shows you who they are, believe it. Because only the grace of God can turn a hard heart and soften it and bring about change. And so, can I also say this to the single people? Don't say with your body what you are not prepared to say in covenant relationship before God. Because one flesh means that the two people coming together, being bound together. Don't bind yourself to somebody that you have not committed to in a covenant relationship of marriage before God and family and friends. You are in a situationship. And if you are a child of God, you need to repent of that situationship until you stand before God and give of your life to your spouse for eternity. Friends, John Legend had it right. Some of these guys, they get it right sometimes. When he says, all of you loves all of me. All your... don't pretend like you don't know the song now. I give you all of me. That's what marriage is all about. Priority. Pursuing. And then the third P that I want us to see this morning is purity. Listen to this in verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. That's what purity is all about. They were both naked and felt no shame. Church, it is deeper than just being physically naked, that which we're reading about here. It's speaking about emotionally, being emotionally open to someone, being emotionally exposed to someone. And this is God's plan for marriage, that I enter into this marriage and I'm emotionally open. There are no secrets. There is nothing that I'm hiding. Some of us, right now, we are busy hiding stash of money because I don't know if I can trust this person. And so I've got a secret account just in case this thing goes pear-shaped. Some of us, we are withholding love, we're withholding passion, we're withholding relationship from our spouse because actually I don't trust you anymore. There's no longer any nakedness and being unashamed. God intended in your marriage that you be emotionally open and honest, spiritually open, relationally connected, and have intimacy at a very deep level in this thing called marriage. Church, there are some of us who right now are more connected to our friends. We are more connected to people online. We're more connected to people on social media. We're more connected to people on TV screens, on your phone screens. We feel more connected to those people than we do with our spouse. So you have heard the saying that you can feel lonely in a crowd. Here's another saying. There are lots of lonely people in marriages. Very, very lonely. So it wasn't always like that. When we started off, it was great. It was good. It had promise of great things. But something happened. Something happened that took away the nakedness and brought about shame. And so some spouses will say, I don't feel safe in this marriage. I don't feel safe. I don't feel financially safe with this person. I don't feel spiritually safe. I don't feel physically, emotionally, psychologically safe in the hands of this person. And so I have chosen to do things differently. So my spouse made me feel shame. They made me feel shame at some point. And so now I've built these walls because I will never feel like that again. And so the walls have come up. I don't feel safe with this person, so I begin to hide in this relationship. I hide my feelings. I hide my true thoughts. Because if I were to share all these things, I don't know if this person can handle these things. And so I hide myself. I self-protect. I hide myself emotionally and mentally because I will not allow myself to be rejected again. It is never going to happen. You made yourself that promise. And so it's left the relationship cold. It's left the relationship with barriers. I won't put myself through that again. We've lost the pure love. We've lost the purity in this relationship. But see, for the reality is that we live in a post-Genesis 2 world. Genesis 3 happened. Sin entered the world. I am tainted by sin. There's no area in my life that is not tainted by sin. My wife is tainted by sin. And so we hurt each other. We cause pain and distress to one another because we are sinners. But God's word has not changed. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25 has not changed because you've sinned. and because you're a sinner. God still says your priority should be your husband. Your priority should be pursuing and living out in purity. It doesn't say you do these three P's because your spouse is worthy of it. Because some of us, we tell ourselves, as soon as he starts behaving in a certain way, then I will also come and behave in a certain way. I will be better. I will love him unconditionally when he starts or when she starts doing ABC. Verses 24 and 25 come without conditions. If you are married, if you're going to be married, this is what's expected of you. Not of your spouse, of you first and foremost. Before anything else. And so God, in his providence and his mercy and his grace, he demonstrates for us these three P's. God gave his one and only son, Jesus, to come on earth. And Jesus says to you, you are priority. You are my number one priority. He left glory. He left heaven to be found as a man. He humbled himself, says Paul in Ephesians, in Philippians chapter 2, taking on the very nature of a servant, because you are priority to him. Jesus, the true husband that we long for, says that you are priority. And the same Jesus says that I've come to pursue you. You have sinned and you have fallen short of the glory, but I will come and pursue you with love so that I can wash you and sanctify you, so that I can iron out all the wrinkles and take away all the blemish that you have caused. And I'll give up my life on the cross. And as he cries out, it is finished. This is Jesus pursuing me, pursuing you, because you are priority to him. And then Jesus makes you pure through his blood. He washes you so that you can stand perfect before the Holy Father as a child of God. Jesus, our true husband, has done all this for us. Amen? Amen. And so what I need most in my marriage is not to go and run faster and do things so that I can patch things up in my marriage. What I need most is Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who is going to show me these things and help me by the power of his Holy Spirit to do the things that he's called me to do in his word. Jesus is the one who is going to lead me and guide me, transform me, reform me, change me to being the husband, the wife that he's called me to be. So what I need most is Jesus. That's what I need most in my marriage. Not just Jesus, to become like Jesus. To have my mind renewed by his word, by his spirit. So that my thinking, my speaking, and my doing will look more and more like Jesus. What my marriage needs the most is for me to be like Jesus. And perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, I don't know Jesus. Well, you came on a great day. Because God the Father is saying, this is who Jesus is. This is what he has done for you. He has pursued you. He has prioritized you. And he has purified you. So today is a great day where you can come and you say, I need Jesus. From where you are sitting right now, in the quietness of your own heart, you can simply say, I need Jesus. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. Just simply surrendering to say, I need Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have Jesus, you're a Christian. How are these things? How is Jesus helping you in these things, in your marriage, in your singleness? Are you looking more and more like Jesus? In your thoughts and words and deeds? Is your worldview shaped by Jesus? Is your lifestyle shaped by Jesus? And so